Let us turn to the book of Leviticus as we continue our reading from chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Let us hear the word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. And holy convocation, ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month, is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Amen. May the Lord bless His word. What we shall do tonight, because the chapter is quite long, we shall divide the reading in 3 portions so that it might be hopefully easier to explain each portion, which as always I will divide it into 3. And in this first portion, you have noticed the first feast that the Lord has appointed for His people. So this is basically all that we will have in this chapter, holy feasts, of all that has been already commanded by God to Moses, to make them holy, to make them understand that they need to be a holy people, separated from other nations, idolatrous nations, separated from sin. Here it comes, a chapter that speaks of feasts. And it is quite encouraging, as we shall see, hopefully with God's help, how all these things set forth for us, for the Israelites and for us today, are but speaking of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it will be fulfilled in Christ and in His with His message. So what I'm trying to do is grouping this chapter into 3 portions, because there is an introduction here in the first 4 verses, where the starting of it all is, as you have noticed, the setting of the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. This is set before every feast, and it is spoken as if it was detached from everything else, because It's a creation ordinance. It's something that will last forever. It's the Sabbath day of the Lord that is being set and listed in the moral law, in the Ten Commandments. That's going to last forever. And all the other feasts are speaking of this rest, but are speaking of the salvation of God and giving us various aspects of His work. There is rest in all these feasts that we will see, but there is no total special rest, complete avoidance of any work as in the Sabbath. The Sabbath is given to us there as the beginning of it all, as remembrance that is a permanent ordinance that will last indeed forever. All these feasts, in fact, will have their fulfillment in Christ, as we shall see, and they are therefore past and fulfilled, and we are not to keep them anymore, as we have seen for many other things in Leviticus. So, having said this, and having pointed that as an introduction, God is giving the Sabbath as the primary feast, typifying the rest, the spiritual rest you and I will have from sin and in God Himself. That's the feast of the Lord, the Sabbath day, as described in verse 3. Now, from verse 4 through to 14 that we have read, there are three feasts mentioned. And God says, this is the first month in the Jewish calendar. It matches our own month of March or April, depending on what will happen. But it's the beginning of the month. It's the first month for the Jewish calendar. And here they are to remember God's deliverance from Egypt, God's deliverance from slavery, and how they had to quickly move away from that place as God saved them and as they started this journey towards the promised land. It is the picture of redemption, of salvation, and the consequences of it. And so there's what we have already noticed in many times, the description of the Passover that has to be celebrated the 14th day of this month. That will continue for 7 days, and attached to this with a sacrifice. I'm not going to see all the details of the sacrifices, because all these sacrifices throughout the chapter are but the sacrifices that were listed at the beginning of the book, if you remember, of Leviticus. But mainly we shall try to see these feasts in connection to what God intended to convey to His people. And perhaps a note of what is the fulfillment in the New Testament after every feast. So, as I was saying, the Passover is the first that has to be proclaimed in the first month on the 14th day. You see how God is describing these feasts as holy convocations. Convocation means simply to gather together, to call together all the Lord's people. That's what they had to do. It was to gather together, and it was a holy convocation. It was for the purpose of worshipping God and come into His presence, or remembering His works of salvation. So the Passover, and then verse 6 through to 8, there's what is described as the unleavened bread, what they had to keep this feast of unleavened bread until the 21st day, which means 7 days. So all Israel had to take away all leaven from their houses. They had to make sure that this symbol of sin should be taken away they had to eat only unleavened bread, so that they may remember that as they left Egypt, as the Passover lamb was sacrificed, they had to, in haste, go away from the place of sin and to remember the purging of their sins and the need to live without it at all. You have a clear reference if you go ahead into 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We have a clear application of what Paul is doing from this Old Testament feast, and that's applied to the Lord's Supper and to the life of the believers as well, who are saved and who are to live without sin. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see how easily Paul takes this imagery from the Old Testament, from Leviticus, to describe our life of thankfulness to Christ for having paid for our sins, for having delivered us from sin, but also to signify the need for sanctification, not only to be justified from sin, but also to live and go away from the Egypt, from the place of slavery, from the old life of oppression from sin, toward the new promised land, with a determination to live without sin, without any leaven in our lives. Sin must be cast away. This is the life of the Christian. This is the desire of those who have received Christ as their Savior. Titus, for example, in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, I'll quote for you what is again the same idea. He says here about Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see, the Christian, just like the Israelites, were not saved just for themselves. Not only we are told we are redeemed and saved and forgiven from all our iniquities, but we are called to purify ourselves and to live doing good works for our God. So there's both a feast, we may say here, for remembering justification from sin, but also sanctification. And see, from verse 9 onwards, there is something else that is commanded for them. It is the feast of the first fruits. It is the offering of the first fruits. Verse 9 and 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. See how God is already bringing to their attention His plan, His decree of what will happen. They are not in the promised land yet, but God is speaking to them as if this is going to be for sure. When you will be into the land that I will give unto you, you shall do this. You are just about to experienced deliverance from Egypt, but this is where I am going to take you. This is how you are to remember the work of your God. with a Passover for 7 days with unleavened bread, and bringing these sacrifices, these offerings to the Lord in the place of your dwelling, when you will see the fruit, when you will have in your hand the first fruits of the labor of your hand, the first fruits from the field and from the work that will be there, that you will receive in that land of the Lord. This sheaf of the first fruits, it's actually typical of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who rose from the dead, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, as the first fruits of those that will raise together with Christ. He rose from the dead as the first one, as the first fruits of them that slept, of them that sleep in the Lord. See here this connection of this feast and how they are to connect this to the Passover. It's all in the same month. It is all flowing from the Passover. It's not a feast detached and closed, but they have to celebrate the Passover with the unleavened bread, and then it comes on the 16th day, the first fruit. This has been fulfilled, in fact, how when Christ died there on the cross and he shed his blood, but he rose from the dead. And on the very first day, he was offered as the first fruit, rising from the dead. So as the Israelites were celebrating this in this first month of their calendar, they were to honor the Lord for their great deliverance. They were never to forget the times in Egypt, the oppression and the consequences of their sins and the slavery of sin. But as they were doing this, they were to rejoice and show before the Lord the first fruit of the new land that they were in, so that they will never forget. How easily it is for us, perhaps, to think of the Lord and His sacrifice, but have no joy and thankfulness for the promised land and for what Christ has done in His resurrection, with His resurrection. How much we are called here to be thankful every day, not only for the salvation received, but for everything that we receive from His hand and for the prospect of the eternal life. The life, the spiritual life that as a Christian you have in Him and because of Him. We were reading this morning in the Gospel, to seek first the kingdom of God. That's the mind of the Christian, of the renewed person, of those who have been taken away from Egypt and are living in the promised land. Now then, let us read the second portion from verse 15 through to 22, because we have here another feast, and this is called with various names, but it's most commonly known as Pentecost. So verse 15, let us hear the word of God. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour, they shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord, with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day, that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Amen. See, this is the time for Israel after they had to count 7 weeks after the first day after the first fruit. They had to count 49 days, which was 7 weeks, 49. That's the word Pentecost, which in Greek means 50. But this feast is also called elsewhere. You will find the name of weeks, the feast of the weeks, just because of what I have said, or the feast of the harvest. That's corresponding to the month of May, June, depending on when the previous feast was ending. But you can easily see how this is covering in those days, in that land, the whole of the harvest time. And from the beginning of the first fruits of the land, they had to continually trust the Lord for all their labor and for all that they will receive from Him, and come at this point on the 50th day and bring these offerings to the Lord, as if it was to be thankful all the time, not only for the beginning of the harvest, but also for the end of the harvest. Everything had to be acknowledged to the Lord. They were in the promised land. Everything was the blessing from God, from His gracious hand. Imagine the contrast from Egypt, from the slavery and for the hardship that they endured. God says to them, you shall never forget this. You should never forget the awfulness of sin, its power, and the dreadfulness of living without Christ, without His salvation. You are to remember where you are coming from as a sinner, and continually thank the Lord for all things. So these offerings were a response to the goodness of God, and a calling, at the same time, a calling unto repentance and to acknowledging that He was their deliverer, their Savior. Now, imagine the fulfillment of this feast of harvest, where, as we have read in Deuteronomy, all the males of Israel had to attend these feasts. And so imagine now, as you fast forward to Israel, to Jerusalem, at the times of Christ, when you read in Acts of the feast of the Pentecost. Imagine how many people were there in Israel, in Jerusalem. How many were there celebrating this feast at the end of the harvest. And what is happening there? They see the Holy Spirit coming down on the disciples. And Christ is risen. And here is, as they were symbolically waving their their offering before the Lord in thankfulness, how many of them would actually did see with thankfulness that Christ has come, that the Savior had risen, and He was the first fruit of all those who will have eternal life. How beautiful is God in His providence matching all these feasts in the unfolding of history for Israel both and for the Christian church. We should rejoice, although we don't celebrate all these feasts, we should rejoice in our own and every Lord's Day, every one of these feasts are summed up. That's your rest. That's how you should be thankful for the coming of Christ and His death and His forgiveness and His resurrection. On that day of Pentecost, or first Pentecost, the apostles presented before God the first fruits of the Christian church. And from then, you know the history and the spreading of the church and the blessing of God and the outpouring of the Spirit unto all the people and unto the ends of the earth. What is all this going to produce in those who believe, in you and me who read this? Well, you see, verse 22 is actually giving us the answer. Verse 22 is reminding, along connected to this feast, to the Pentecost, is reminding all people at the end of harvest, God tells them, do not forget the poor. Do not gather everything from your field, but leave something for them. In other words, God is telling them, well, are you thankful? Are you truly noticing and receiving the blessing that I am giving you after all these years of slavery? Do you truly see my salvation? Are you indeed rejoicing about it? How can you respond to the goodness of God but with mercy toward others? And that's what's commanded here. That's the picture you have. How can you receive the testimony of salvation and be not merciful toward the poor and tell them, collect this as well? I'm not going to be selfish at this point. God has given me this and I will leave even some for others. Is it not what we have found in the story of Ruth? That's how Ruth was blessed. Exactly how, just because she was living this feast there, that during the harvest, the godly man, Boaz, obeyed God in such a way. But not only obeyed, but we saw that he was truly a thankful man, a saved man, concerned for others. And so this is showing the compassion we all should have for one another as brethren and for those who are in need. There is a contradiction if the Christian is not a merciful man. The Christian who has become renewed in his spirit, that has tasted the goodness of God, cannot be harsh and insensible toward those who are in need. God's people, He is commanding here, were having feasts. They were feasting about God's work, upon God's works. And they were becoming, by faith, if they truly knew the meaning of these feasts, they were to become merciful and kind and ready to tell others as well. Now then, time is going fast. Let us read the last portion, which is the longest, toward the end of the chapter, because we shall see here a group of three other feasts that are all connected together. Verse 23, let us hear God's word. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation, Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, ye everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. So this is the seventh month. It will be about September or October in the year, and God is pointing here for them the need to remember his protection and his provision for them so many years in the wilderness. There are three feasts to be remembered, and the first one is on the first day, verse 24. We have read on the first day, God says of this month, God says, ye shall blow a trumpet. You shall... 24. A memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocations. Verse 24. They were called, commanded to blow these trumpets. I don't know if you children have ever heard, actually, the sound of any trumpets from Rio. It is an astonishing sound. It is very strong, especially if there are more than one or ten. And so you can imagine the glory and the awakening that this blowing of trumpet must have suggested to the people hearing and doing this. It was as if God was saying with a mighty voice, "Now remember this. It's very important." It was like the sound of this trumpet shaking off all those who were asleep or perhaps forgetting of what God was going to say and to remember. It was a holy convocation. They had all to come together and search their ways and remember what God has done when they were in the wilderness, fearful, with no food, depending on God. And they had to do this when they were in plenteous, with plenty things in the promised land, to remember with this blowing of trumpets. God was calling them to serious repentance, to acknowledging that all that they had there in the promised land was out of goodness of God. They were to introduce with this blowing of trumpet the day of atonement, the day that we have already seen detailed in chapter 16, but it was mainly so clearly giving the picture of the salvation of Christ, the shedding of the blood offered for the purging of sin. There was no more clear indication of the atoning work of Christ in this feast, in this day of atonement, when the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat once a year. And so it is quite telling when we read of this blowing of trumpets, of this preparation and this proclamation of this feast coming for the day of the atonement. We read verse 29 and we read something quite scary. Verse 29, "Whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people." What is this? God could not stand anyone who would admire or celebrate this feast and see the day of atonement and witness the shedding of blood of the goats and the high priest going into the presence of God, into the most holy place, without repentance, without affliction for his own soul, without understanding that was the substitution for his own sin. That was the way God had accepted all those who were approaching him through the shedding of blood of the sacrifice. God could not stand this person. If someone was to take this lightly, he had to be cut off among his people. That's the importance for you and me, to realize what Christ has done. It's not to be taken lightly. He died, he shed his blood, he paid for your sins. You are to confess them, you are to repent, and not use the name of Christ as if nothing has happened, as it was something light that happened back in history. Christ died and he paid. And you are receiving, if you trust in him, you are receiving his full, perfect forgiveness and salvation. And so, the trumpets were blown, the day of atonement were celebrated, and then on the 15th day, all Israel were invited to rejoice in God and to dwell for 7 days in booths. They had to make these tents with branches and with palm trees and with sticks that they had to gather. And they had to stay there in the promised land with all their luxurious houses and with plenty that they had to enjoy in the promised land. They had to go back and humble themselves and remember how their fathers were dwelling in the wilderness and how God delivered them and brought them into the new promised land. And this was showing them and us as well that we are here on earth with so many good things, not only material things, but so many blessings in Christ. But we are still pilgrims. We are strangers here. We are heading to the promised land. We are not there yet. The Lord was reminding them who were already in the Canaan how they came there, they came to be there. And perhaps this is also fulfilling the fact of Christ dwelling here on earth in His human body, in His human nature. The dwelling of Christ, the coming of Christ in humility and living here, representing our own lives as well as strangers here below. May the Lord humble our hearts as we see all these aspects, perhaps not in a very good way so quickly, but let us remember how to use better our Lord's days, how to rest in God's salvation, how important it is that you and I have peace with God through the sacrifice of Christ. And if anyone has not realized this yet, has not submitted to Him yet, what an opportunity it is for using the Lord's days, the Sabbath of the Lord, remembering that He is the Creator, He is your Creator, and He is your Savior. He is preaching to you every week the gospel of Christ, His sacrifice, so that you may bow down and rejoice in everything that has been done to save sinners.